I am so sorry, oh, Lord. Oh, Corliss, I didn't mean to. Oh, here we go. Anyway, when he was sharing with us at dinner, he talked about Bill and Dr. Bob and some of the other original people in AA, and it was just really a neat experience. And being the nosy person I was, I also dealt in some of the personal facts. He and his wife have been married 52 years, which again was just astounding to me because Jimmy and I are going on 5, and we think that's incredible. Not only that, but I dealt a little further, and I found out that he has got 11 children. And just as I put all my teeth back in place, he kind of chuckled, and he said, they tell me up in Ohio, I obviously did something during those years besides drink. And I thought that was precious. So I just know we're in for a true treat tonight. Won't y'all please help me welcome Moses from Alliance, Ohio.
What a nice crowd. I love you. It's wonderful. How is Ben Hall from Cleveland used to say, it's wonderful to be sober. Them are precious words. And I don't want to forget them. It's wonderful to be sober. Well, she told you a lot of things. I don't care. She didn't tell it all. I'm 75 years old. I don't care. But the most of all, I'm an alcoholic. That I know that I'm one. That's the greatest thing of all. Not to my wife or somebody else knows, but that I know that I'm an alcoholic. Now, I'm not going to tell you how to get drunk or how to sober up. You know that you wouldn't be here. The thing we're most concerned about is how to stay put, how to enjoy life without a bottle. I thought life was unbearable without alcohol. What would I do if I couldn't drink? This program teaches us how to stop from starting again. That's the whole secret in a nutshell. I stopped under the time to stay and stop. That was a horse with a different color. Pretty little parent said, remember the time when you don't want to drink and the time to build up strength, not to take one, it's when you do want one. That means so much. It's wonderful to see this nice guy. Tell me, there's proven evidence here that you're willing to do something about staying sober. That's the name of the game. Staying sober, one day at a time. We're here for the same purpose. Staying sober, helping one another. Helping. I cannot afford to look back over the past too far. All I can do about the past is admit my wrongs and wrongs. Why should I try to pull today's load with yesterday's dead horse?
That's what I went in.
But I have to do something about it. There's no footprints made in the sand by sitting down.
I have to do something.
I love you, happy bun. I don't believe the good Lord intends us to go through life dragging our feet, feeling sorry for ourselves. No. He wants us to enjoy this way of life in a clean, sensible way. Let your joy be full. That's my way. And if I aim at nothing, I'm bound to hit it.
The big book says, tell your story. Tell you how you got a hold of this program. What you doing about it now?
I cannot afford to look ahead too far either. I can't cross the bridge before I get there. One Sunday afternoon at the age of 16, a bunch of us boys, some of my school chums, we got into my uncle's cider bill, and the winter time was out sled riding. This was my first try with any kind of booze or it. And I took a couple of rounds of good hard time and got the string of my finger making woozy look at. I found a new world. Took that shyness out of me and that little runtness out of me, made me about 2 feet taller. We went out sled riding and came back after the second round. I made a complete pig out of myself.
I didn't know when to stop drinking. The last drink just took away from me. All the time you blacked out, you wouldn't have took that last drink away from me. And I got drunk.
Mm.
And that wasn't the only time. Now, for the next 24 years, I never seen the day that I was able to take one or two drinks of alcohol and cut it off and go about my business. I don't say I was just drunk. I was brought up in a good home, right from wrong. But I was never able to be satisfied. If I could only see one drink ahead of me, I'd sooner not be aggravated with that one drink.
I wouldn't.
I didn't have to drink 5, 10, 20 years and cross an invisible borderline. That little bug was right there. Ready to bloom. The only way that I never found out that I was an alcoholic, I would have never took that first drink, but it did. All the defamation. I never once in the 24 years of my drinking deal, I find a ticket drunk, I said, they don't want a ticket drunk. All the defamation used to say. I took going to drink to get mellow, then I got right, and then I got rotten. February 27, 1930, he got married. 1930 to 1940, as a drunken farmer.
Mm. I'm not going to tell you about it.
Mom had a heart attack 4 years, 4 months ago. She recovered. The good Lord can get to us. There's many prayers and answers. We're so thankful, so grateful. We can travel again together. We never had it as nice as we have it now. We have no money in the bank, but we can make ends meet. That's all it's about. From 1930 to 1940, I was a drunken farmer. A lot of things happened I'm not going to tell you about. Lonely drinking. 90% of my drink that I done all by myself because it was too hard a job to keep myself supplied instead of passing it out for someone else. I drank food like whiskey, hard cider, beer, wine, anything to contain alcohol. Not for the taste, but the effect what it done to me. That whole curry, that no care feeling. That's what it was. Then when the old cider girl said, oh, brother, now I have to go out and buy it. This running out of booze, that's a horse show. I used to hear when the old country had a big reservoir full of wine. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Had a big supply, wouldn't be running out all the time, but at the end. Just waking up in the morning, chiseling, conniving, stealing, begging, bar, how to get that next supply. I'm talking about me, not you. That's worse. I don't have to do them things anymore, thank God. I can wake up in the morning and say, good morning, God, instead of waking up in the morning. Good God, is it morning already? By 1940, I had drank myself completely under the table financially bankrupt. And from 1940 on, my main drink was coke and white wood. It's a shitter thing about them dry eaves, oh, but 26th day of December of 1940, I started to work in a party in Fredericksburg, Ohio, which I worked for over 7 years. Drunk and sober, lonely drinker. Now, 90% of my drinking all by myself. Some people didn't know too much about my drinking, and I don't know if got too close to me. I'm going to cut it short. You know how to get drunk. I'm going to tell you what this wonderful program means to me. 1945, 46, and the first half of 47 was very few sober days, one sober day. I don't feel completely drunk, but having a day to the sea. One day, my wife asked me, this. I thought I could tell it in you when you got a drink or two in you. But for a long time, you always looked the same. You were surely not drinking every day. And I said, yes, Mom, that's right. That was the first part of honesty that crossed my head. Well, the middle of May of 1947, one evening, I went to bed and I couldn't sleep. And something took place within me. Somebody's prayers was ended. I came out in the room. My wife was still in the room and said, Mom, I'm late. At least almost fell over back. She never really remarked out of me like that before. Or anybody else did. Never once did I tell anybody that I'm late. My wife said, what do you want to do? I said, go to some hospital, try to get a job to get away from alcohol. I came to the dead end of self. Now, that 24-hour book, in my way, I think you should be every alcoholic home. There's so much food for thought in that 24-hour book. January 29th, the Scottish architect, now I'm the builder. A year and 8 months before I came to the end of my road, there were 3 friends of mine went to St. Thomas Hospital in Akron for alcoholism. He came home, attended a few meetings. 6 months later, the old thing got drunk. This evening, when Asher ran it to my wife, he said, "Where you want to go?" I said, "Where them boys went, my wife." "You don't want that. They're drunk, see?" "All an example." So my wife got a hold of another address. And the last Friday of May of 1947, my wife got this answer out of treatment. It was $200 for a 3-day treatment later on, but out of security use. I was willing to grab for anything. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired of staying sober. I have no doubt whether I would have sobered up. Now, here's where the second miracle took place in my life. We lived on my father-in-law's farm. A neighbor of mine came there to visit my father-in-law at the right 10 minutes time. Excuse me. I put the beer on him. Now, before this, it was all hush hush. I didn't want to hear any part of this drinking, but now I didn't care who I saw. I told my neighbor I'm going to Cleveland doing something about my drinking, but I need money. You didn't have to even need a drink right now, huh? First of all, he said, "I haven't got no money for you." And second, he said, "Don't go to Cleveland. My uncle been out there 5 minutes, no good. He's drinking." But he said, 5 weeks ago, I was in Worcester. The day this blacksmith surrendered, and some boy picked this man up and took him to Columbus. That man sober 5 weeks. Why did this man happen to come there at the right 10 minutes time? It was all by the grace of God that showed me this way of life. Well, on the Monday morning, on the first day of June, me and my wife went to Worcester and we got the address. We landed in Broad Street Home in Columbus, 1134 East Broad. In the evening, about sundown, I was about 7 or 8 in the bag I used to have been for a long time. Met a housewife at the door, and the first words I asked him, "Is this a place where you cure drunks?" And he asked a bunch of questions. "But they're drinking," I told him, "part lime, part food," and he pronounced me an alcoholic. I never heard that before. To me, it's a polished word for drunk. I like it. A lot of people don't like that. That's the man under the bridge. So today, if I contact a new man, all I ask is, "Does alcohol give you any problem?" And we go from there. You know, at the age of 21, I was called a drunkard. I would have been full frustrated for this struggle, but not me. I had to go till I was 40 years old before I was ready to throw in the sponge and say, "I'm licked." Well, the second day in the hospital was the first time I ever heard of AA. How grateful, how grateful, how grateful. Between me wonderful and them 5 days, I surely could have used a 21-day program, believe me. A lot of good talk there, but nothing so serious as Solomon. The greatest thing is the 4th of June, I had my last week in the hospital. The greatest thing I took away from that hospital in them 5 days, I asked the manager, "How long will this be till this baby will leave me for alcohol?" He said, "Working on a 24-hour basis, 24 hours is too long. He said, "Break it down in 2 hours and ask to make it to help you. Someday it'll come easier." That was the greatest straw I took home from the hospital. And I hung on to that straw for a dear life. I came home, he told me about the meeting in Worcester, 10 miles away. I came home and I was enthused, and I told my wife, "Now this thing works, we're going to tell others." My wife had the same idea, but go to a meeting. I said, "Maybe someday we might go to a meeting." But as days rolled on, this came further from my mind about going to an AA meeting. Now 10 days after home from the hospital, my sponsor drove 10 miles to invite me to that first meeting. That made an outstanding impression that somebody would go out of their way to do something for me without being paid for. On the 20th day of June of 1947, they attended their first AA meeting in Brooklyn. Jenny Margaret left that first meeting, but I can tell you one single word she said in my soft of time. I picked the key again. The two greatest things I took away from that meeting, the welcome they gave me, but the greatest of all, who could look they had on their face. They had something that I wanted. They were enjoying life without a body. Now, Grover Maxwell, he was 3 months ahead of me in the program, and when I left for home that first night, he told the rest of the boys that that guy will never make it. So I kept going back. Now, let's start a minute about the degrees of alcoholism. It's just like an elevator. What floor are you going to get off? Are you going to go all the way down to the body? You don't have to. I seen the Skid Row film in AA a number of years ago. Chicago Skid Row. Some fool went along and said, "Hi, pretty," and didn't. It's not how much you drink or what you drink or how long you drink. It's what alcohol does to you. Does alcohol make you a different person than me? I cannot guarantee my behavior if I take one drink of alcohol. One drink is too many, 10,000 is not enough for me because I am an alcoholic. I know of a man that drinks 3 bottles of beer and goes haywire and the man in the prison. Just not to mind. Some of you can say, "Well, I didn't get down as far as you did. I wasn't a wino, an everyday drinker." Well, remember, you didn't get down as far as I did if you haven't got as far back. Something to think about. But you could. Meet Jonah Seven to start for the day. 3 places for an alcoholic to land. In the insane asylum, in the morgue, or totally abstained. I met up with a man from Huntington, West Virginia, and he told me his own story and said, "I took a number to Chillicothe, due to my drinking." And he said, "The last trip that I was there, I wondered that God took him over into a big building. On the way over to that building, he said, 'Now, the next time you're coming back, I've got a bed over here with your name on it. And that's where you're going to land.' He took him in that building. In that building, there were 800 men, snapped beyond compare. He drank too much, too long, too long. How fortunate we are. Excuse me. That we are living in a day and age where this program is here for us to hang on to. Look at the hundreds, 2,000, and even millions of people through the centuries of years with the same problems, but never been able to find what you and I have. Abraham Lincoln once said to one of his soldiers laying on the retreat drunk and said, 'I hope you drunks get together someday and talk this thing over.' We have it. Am I great? Am I great? Now, a power greater than yourself. Sure, there must be a power. Look at the spring of the year and the flowers, the grass, the leaves, the moss. Somebody taking care of these things. The guy that made a grain of wheat, the size, the shape, the color, the form, like an astral grain. He planted this grain of wheat, but he didn't grow. Why? Because he did not have no life. It is God that gives the life. Someone has said, "I don't understand everything about this God business." But he said, "I don't understand everything about this electricity either, but I'm not going to sit in the dark till I do." I like what the little girl was there to recite the 23rd Psalm. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want." Talking about this God business. I'm not like the writer in the grapevine said, "Thank God I'm an atheist." Don't sound like this. Now the two key words in my way of thinking for this program is honesty and gratitude. Honest is the backbone of it all. Be honest with yourself, then gratitude. Clem Lane from Chicago led Founders Day meeting years ago, and he dropped these precious words. They're precious in my sight. He said, "If I have a fort 365 feet long," he said, "nobody can lose that fort. But let me cut that fort into 1 foot length. It's not hard." I laughed. Precious. Dr. Bob, in the First World Convention, was in the summer of 1950, and Dr. Bob gave his last 15-minute talk. He was dying from cancer. They brought him up on an ambulance out of Athens to Cleveland. And I was there on a Sunday afternoon. He dropped these precious words and said, "Keep it simple. Don't louse it up." They're not precious. Back in 1840, there was a program similar to ours called the Washingtonian. Thousands upon thousands in the program. I forget how many. But they started preaching and evangelizing and politics got involved and all fell apart. So I like them precious words that Dr. Bob said. He said, "Don't love it." Then in the big book he said, "I must keep fooling myself." The little boy came home from school one day and father asked him, "Son, what did you learn today?" "Not much. I had to go back tomorrow." That's what I had. Keep doing something about it. Think of a model that was hanging on the school wall. Imagine a day that didn't have time to think about that model and said, Do your best and do it every day. Let us do our best today. Not gratitude. The two persons were looking out through the window. One of them seen the stars, the other seen the moon. The man that went to church every night, and the guy asked him, how'd you sit neighbors? He said, I don't know. I'd sooner see a sermon than hear what any does. There was a boat sinking not too far from shore, and on this boat there was a good swimmer. This good swimmer rescued 18 people one by one to safety before he exhausted. The 10 lepers could be healed. Only one of them came back and told the master to be grateful. Gratitude. Then I have to watch for the pitfalls of life, that I can be a burden to my conscience, to live above circumstance. Trust God, clean house, and help others. The whole program hangs on them 6 words. I like to put a handle on them 6 words. Love and service. I like what Jack there always said. Desire, decision, determination. Someone has said, if you can't find nothing to be grateful for, you've got a very poor memory. The little boy complained he didn't have no shoes to wear, so he seen a little boy that didn't have no feet. I'd much sooner belong to this program and not need it than not to belong to this program and need it. Now, these last 35 years was not all a bed of roses, not by a long shot. But I like that motto and said, this too so fast, it will. If I put my shoulder to the wheel and give it a good try. When clouds of trouble bring tears to your eyes, God stands ready to put a rainbow in your eyes. I like what Bill Wilson said in 1965 at Founders Day meeting. He dropped these precious words and said, the sun never sets upon the society of AA. Precious, you might say. When I heard a speaker say, my earnings, my labor is not too much here on this earth, but it's that my retirement plan is out of this world. So take some action when they put on our. Can I sit at home, easy rocking chair, and say I'm grateful? Gratitude demands expression. I'm like the old Indian said, I'd sooner have my pot boiling over than not boiling at all. June the 4th at the end of the prayer says, I pray that I may not be discouraged in the slow progress that I make. It's like Henry Warmer said, it isn't a trial. There is no top rung, there is no diploma, there is no graduation in AA. It's surprising what a man can still learn if he thinks he knows it all. That's all something to learn if I'm willing. And how much more beautiful the sun looks at the dark, clear day, and behind every cloud there's a silver lining. If we magnify our blessings the way we do our troubles, but it isn't where it could be. Faith is the key that unlocks the storehouse of God's resources. Then June the 16th, he said, faith is not the whole story. There must be service. We must give this thing away for the keepers. The service to others gives you your purpose in life. The new person, you're the lifeblood of AA. By going to these meetings and absorbing some of these handles you throw around at these AA meetings, talking with other people, you're sharing. And that's the key to success, sharing. And before you drop out of AA, read November the 2nd, the meditation. And mention about this sharing. As long as I keep sharing, God is going to keep me filled. Then at the end of this meditation, I said, a lake must have an inflow and an outflow in order to be clear. I think the whole program now all sums it up in this one story. The rich young lady been going to the doctor time and time and again. All was wrong with the lady. She had too much time and money on her hands. Finally, the doctor told her, over there is a young girl. Try to take care of an old couple. You go and help that young girl to manage life. Not to work. If you need any clothes or food, send for it and send me the bill. Doctor's order. The young lady went over there and she gave the meat and she fed in. She helped to do the work and sent to the things she needed and take the bill herself. Forgot all about this thing. Share with the key to success. I read a story in A Brighter Side some time ago. A man was sober some time. He got the feeling he should pass this thing on. So one Sunday afternoon, he went to a hangout where he used to spend some time. There were two guys laying on the floor, two guys laying on the bed, one guy laying in the bathtub. He threw the gym. One guy, he got partly woke up and told him what he found. He left the place and he thought he didn't do a bit of good. 6 months later, a man came up to him at an AA meeting. He said, you remember me? No. You remember that Sunday afternoon, and I sure do, Mr. Bill. I was under the bed. Service was my room rent here on this earth. The little boy fell out of bed one night, and Father asked him, son, what happened? I got too close to the edge. There's something to do. God burns all of these for the birds, but you not put it into their nest. Governor said, maybe they are no mustard, there's a lot of other bees. The big book has over 70 nuts. This gives me new lease on life. Not so much in life, but one is what I need. J.C. Penny was one to ask and said, you must have a lot of problems in your lifetime, yes, but I grew in a difficulty. Worry is a slight form of atheism. Now here comes a poor afternoon, something a little strange to the middle. But Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob both mentioned this. I hope you don't forget the poor afternoon. Dear precious, you make a good foundation to build this house of sobriety. With the 12 steps, honesty, purity, unselfish, and love. And that's all they had in the beginning. To work on. He got that out of the Oxford team. Honesty, purity, unselfish, and love. And that makes a good foundation. Now, step number one, that's the backbone of it all. Get honest with yourself. Then step number two, find yourself a power greater than yourself. Then comes that beautiful step number three. Make a decision to turn your will and your life over to the care of God as you understand him. We come together for one purpose, mainly to reinforce our determination to stay sober. Now comes that step number four. That's a humdinger. Get rid of the garbage. My mother-in-law got me to put a barrel of cider away for vinegar. She never got any vinegar. Shame on her. Then go back and polish that. My brother-in-law stole his cider and then go back and polish it. Some are not easy. But some of the things I had to do in order to get the full value of this program. Not the first time steps to call out of this alcoholism. Don't get me wrong, they're all important. Every one of them. But I'm not going to take time to go into it. But steps 10, 11, and 12 are maintaining steps. I'll not be done working as long as I live. Steps 10 continue to take prudent inventory. I like the story of the little boy in connection with step 10. Going to the drugstore and ask the man, can you use your phone? He said, sure, son. They call up a party and the party ends. Little boy said to the man, you need somebody around the house to mow your lawn to keep things in order? No, I have a fellow to do the work for me. Is he doing a good job? Yes, he's doing a fine job. When he hung up the receiver and started to go out in the drugstore, man called him back and said, come back here, son, I've got a job for you. I don't want no job. That's the place I'm working. I'm just taking up on myself. Now we come to step number 11. Start to experiment and to improve, not stand still, to improve our conscious contact. Again, the beauty of the understanding. Pray only for the knowledge of His will, not my will, and the power for us to carry that out. The 12 steps carry the message, not the alcoholic. We can lead a horse from water profit, we can make him drink. And the big book says, if you want what we have, are you willing to go to any length to get it? Now comes the last seven words of the 12 steps. Practice these principles in all our affairs. In all our affairs. In my home. Or on a highway. Somebody drives up in front of me. I almost have to come here. Do I pray for him and say, them are the things that I ask of you. So I got a full-time job. Full-time job. And they already gave you a box of tools, and that's for me to use them tools. I've got a choice today. There was hundreds and hundreds of mornings. I did not have no choice. I had to have it make it harder to navigate. Today I have a choice, and I want to keep that choice. And you and I are sober tonight. Look at the millions of people out there still practicing. And I have the choice for you and I. I want to keep in the uppermost in my mind. I got one more drunk coming, but drive another recovery day.
I'm not asking God to take these problems away from me. I'm asking God to give me more backbone to save these problems.
Ed Barnes said, it's not the tune of the fiddle that pulls the train, it's action. Someone has said, some people are just like tea bags. They are very little value, not unless you get in hot water. Someone has said, I got two dogs in here, a black one and a white one. Black one is the old nature, and the white one is the new nature, the good spirit, and you're always quarreling. Well, which dog wins? The one that I eat the most. Again, I could cruise down a hill on a bicycle, but what about going up the next hill? Any day you can swim down the river, but it takes you alive and it's in mud, don't it? An idle mind is the devil's found for the light and couldn't find it.
Another man came by and seen this problem and said, close the door and the light will come on. He gives God my undivided attention. One more in the line of prayer. The blind man that is healed, the master didn't tell him over the eyes he was healed. No, he took a handful of clay and smear over his eyes. He did not go to the pool and what? Do something about it. God will do the impossible. It's no process to do the possible. I get up in the morning. I get down on my knees. I ask God for strength and guidance for that day. I close my day with thanksgiving on my knees. Why shouldn't I show my appreciation to my maker that he showed me this wonderful way whereby I can enjoy life without a bother? I say little flash prayer during the day. That I'm not on my knees, but it's no harm to get on your knees. Now, a few words yet about meetings. Meetings. Someone said, how long should I go to these meetings? Well, how long you want to stay sober? How long should I go to these meetings? Till you want to go. That's precious. Till you want to go. Someone has said, how come you still go to these meetings to find out what I'm still missing? Met a man in St. Thomas Hospital quite a number of years ago with 11 years under his belt, back in pajamas. What happened? Well, I was drinking sweet silence, so I got hard and I forgot to stop drinking. Had you been to any meeting lately? I hadn't been to a meeting for a long time. Same old story. There's another man in Cleveland in Charity Hospital a number of years ago. Well, a number of years ago. It's 5 years under his belt. I know this man. In our conversation, I asked him, said, do you have the 24-hour book? He said, I do, but he didn't have it open for a couple of years. Same old song. Meetings. I never once heard one single man or woman say, I went to too many meetings. That's the reason I got drunk. In our lines alone, we live 8 miles from a line. In our lines alone, not too many years ago, in 1 year's time, there was 8 men with a good taste of this way of life either drank themselves to death or commit suicide in 1 year's time. Out of the inner group office in Athens, a number of years ago, a 20-year man got drunk and called for help. And a young man with 6 or 8 years of good solid sobriety was called on the scene. When this young man came on the scene, this old drunk said, you young punk, you can't tell me nothing. I read the big book in the 12 seconds when he got done blowing off the young man said, but you forgot one thing, you forgot how to stay sober. You know, it's not how much I know about the whole book, it's living it. I heard a preacher say, it's not how much you know about the Bible, it's living it. That's the whole thing of it. I read a story in the grapevine a number of years ago. Two old timers were sitting at an open fireplace. One guy said, I feel pretty good. I don't believe in these meetings anymore. The other guy got up and got a shovel and got a red hot coal out of the fire and laid it over to his side. After a while, the said, look at the life of that coal. It's dead. It's gone. We need one. We need one. Bill Dodson, the third man of this program, was over 19 and a half years when he died. I heard him leave a number of meetings. He was asked, how long can a man go to these meetings? Bill said, I don't know. I don't want to gamble. Good enough for Bill and good enough for me. A close friend of mine, for over 11 years,
He went down to Pennsylvania over the weekend to his friend's was Rick's friend. And they went to the bar. He said, I'm sober 7 years.
I can take it.
But I mean, I can drink coke. But he went to the bar drinking coke, but anyhow, to sum it all up, he got drunk. And he got back and he told me all about it. He felt awful bad. I said, did you miss any meetings? Somewhat. But he said, the greatest of all, I didn't have no business being at that bar. Bill Dawson had another story I liked so much about staying away from the bar. He said the three guys went up the mountain to be interviewed for taxi driving jobs. The first guy was asked, how close did you come to get to this place without going over? The first one said, I can come within 4 inches. Second one said, how close can you come? I can come within 2 inches. Third one was asked, how close can you come? I don't know, but I know this much. I'm going to stay away from the edge of that cliff just as far as I can. That's what Bill Dawson said him in the bottom. If you play with fire, you'll have to get burned. I just couldn't have a tiger tied in my front yard with a bottle of booze. Me and alcohol just don't meet. Quite a number of years ago, in the spring of the year, me and a friend of mine put up a milk parlor for a farmer. One day the farmer came out with a 2-quart jar of cider. Looks beautiful. Oh, I drank barrels of that stuff. I said, is it sweet? Yes, almost. I didn't taste it. And he set it down there on a pile of blocks. Well, my buddy, he tastes it. No, it seems like sweet. He set it on a pile of blocks. I can't block and mud it over. You know, that thing was watching me. That little monkey got on my shoulder. Hey, that looks good. Why don't they give it a try? I got 30, I took that can way back of a building. I didn't pour it out to him. It's not done. The farmer was planting the corn in the spring of the year. The corn come up, the crows got in there, pulling out the corn, feeding on the kernels, on the bottom. He went out along the fence road with a shotgun blasting away these crows. When picking up the dead crows, lo and behold, among these dead crows were their pet hares. And a broken wing. We picked a pair up and took it home. And we got home somewhere and said, what happened to our pair? Before the farmer could answer the question, the pair said, wrong crowd. Maybe the first thing will lead to the explosion, but it will sure light the fuse. A man was walking along the road on a cold day, and a snake was laying along the road. The snake said, I'm cold, pick me up. No, you're a snake. So bite me. No, I won't bite you. He picked the snake up and put it under his coat, and after a while, the snake got one wiggle around his east end. The snake didn't. He threw the snake down and said, you told me you wasn't going to bite me. Yes, I know, but you know who I was. I know who the bottle is. It's much better to play oversaved than undersaved. I talked at 2 different hospitals to the patients once a month. But in closing, I always say this. If you can't remember anything else that was said, remember 2 points. The point that he gave me at the hospital, someday I will come meet you. If I hang on. And the second point is, sharing is the key to success. I cannot do much sharing that I sit in the home lazy rocking chair, can I? The man got on a streetcar, was sitting down beside a man that was just snapping his string. What's wrong with you? You cuckoo. I'm keeping the elephant away. Huh? There's no elephant within 500 miles from here. Well, it works. Well, it's getting time to close. A speaker one day asked the chairman, he said, how long can I talk? The chairman said, you can talk just as long as you want to, but at 9:30 we're going home. He didn't say that, no. Now the man or woman has trouble in this program. Don't be afraid to come back. Keep coming back. Keep coming back. Let no failure be final. Don't let the glamour be. We're all. If I point a finger at him or her, I got three of them pointing back at me. The only time I have any right to look down on my fellow man when he moved over to give him a lift. There was a young boy, such a good skater, and he was asked, what makes you such a good skater? He studied a little well, maybe it's because you always get up and try again. That's what counts. The only guy that has any success letting other people down is the elevator boy. I usually give him four words. This is my way of thinking. I'm just a tiny little piece of sand in this great movement of AA. Try a little harder. Try a little harder. Bill Weir from Salem on a cold wee hours of the morning had a telephone call from one of his buddies and said, come over, I'm drunk. Bill said, it's no slippery heights to travel. Can't you waste the money? No, I want you right now. Bill said, okay, I'll be over. So he hung up the receiver and put on his shoes, but he was a mumbling and a grumbling. His wife spoke up and said, Bill, which end of the line would you sooner be? How much better to stay over than the figure. Now it's these small things in life that I have to watch. Tim Brennan came off of the elevator one morning at a hotel and said, I wonder if I pour that towel down in the washroom for the next child. He took the elevator and went back up and he did that. Said, I know Tim Brennan. If I leave these little things slip, they're going to pile up in the big things. And them are the things that I have to watch. Enough little threads can make a table. You never heard of anybody tripping your tight teeth. It's too small. One more story. Talking about these small things. I tell a hydrant, we live 5 miles from hydrant. On Monday, there's a sale barn. They always have a bunch of produce trucks. Quite a number of years ago, on a Monday evening, I came home from work. I told Mama I'm going over to the sale barn to buy some raw pineapple she can. There was a neighbor woman at the house at the present that her husband had run off and left the two small boys to raise. This neighbor woman said, bring me a couple. I went over there, bought a bunch for us and two for her, but on the way home, I picked out the two smallest ones for her. After all, I'm in Tyler, I've done the work, but I couldn't forget that stain up there. Every time I seen a woman, I thought every time I seen a pineapple, I thought of it. Sometime later, on a Monday evening, on the way home from work, I stopped at the sale barn, and one of the first things I seen was a pineapple sitting on the table. I told myself, you go and buy a couple of pineapples, take it over and tell you what you done. Ooh, that hurts my pride. Hardly she said to me, come on, you love, you're the one that done the dirty work. I want to thank you for giving this ticket to be with you. Not because of me popping off, no, of myself, I'm nothing. But I must keep busy. The old saying is it's much better to wear out than to rest out. So I cannot afford to do like a little boy came home from school one day and was asked by his father, son, you been a good boy in school today? No. Been a bad boy? No. Well, what then? Just comfortable, doing nothing. But that I'm going to close. Don't walk in front of me, for I may not follow. Don't walk behind me, for I may not lead you. Walk beside me, dear friend. Thank you, God bless.
What a neat person. We love you, Mo. Thanks so much for sharing. While everybody's still standing, let's go ahead and close in the usual manner. As Mike said earlier, though, Mo, we'll be across the hall, so y'all go meet him personally. Our
and we are not in meditation, but to love to be one.